Hi, good morning, everyone. Delighted you're joining us here today. Happy Friday, and hope you all had a productive week. My name is Jeannie with Coaching by Jeannie, and welcome to podcast number two, which is about overall well-being and integrating it for effective leadership. If you recall, we talked about overall well-being last podcast, in podcast number one, and we discussed about the six core components that make up overall well-being in all of us. Last week, we discussed the physical component of well-being. Today, we are discussing well-being's core component number two, which is called emotional. This is a big one. So the emotional component consists of many different areas. A few of those descriptives include acknowledgments, expressing anger, experiencing joy, socializing, music, art, service to others, experiencing awe, play, relationships, touch, hugs, experience wonder, laughter, and contribution. So the overall goal is to incorporate all of these different areas in our lives for overall well-being in a consistent manner in order to source ourselves as leaders of excellence. Leaders who source themselves regularly have a greater level of excellence in their daily leadership of their lives and their teams in business. So today, I'm really excited to introduce our guest today, Sherry Dailing, who has an extensive experience in the area of successfully integrating her leadership skills along with her commitment to overall effective emotional well-being. So let me talk to you a little bit more about Sherry and what her accomplishments have been to date. So Sherry Dailing is passionate about nurturing talent, fostering growth, and igniting the flames of learning and development. As a dedicated talent development promoter, creator, and coach, yes, she's all three of those, she thrives on partnering with individuals to unlock their potential and provide support on their development journey. Her commitment lies in cultivating environments where collaboration, curiosity, and continuous improvement flourish. She has applied her talents in various organizations in South Florida, including Memorial Healthcare System, Maritime Professional Training, and Sixt Rental Car. Currently presiding as the president of the South Florida Association of Talent Development, she partners with like-minded professionals to lead the nonprofit organization with a mission to connect, create, and support opportunities for a community of talent development professionals. Sherry loves to cook and bake, trying new recipes when she's inspired. Sherry lives in South Florida with her human and furry family, her husband and her son, and whenever possible, enjoys yoga on the beach. Sherry, welcome to podcast number two. We're so excited to have you. You have an extensive background in leadership, both personally and professionally. Would you like to share with everyone how you have successfully integrated good emotional well-being with your overall leadership skills in your life with the audience?
Hi, Jeannie. Well, first off, thanks so much for having me here today. I have to say, I'm coming off of a little bit of a cold, so my voice is a little crackly, but I'm going to push through this. I think I'll come through, and it might clear up as I'm talking more. We'll see.
All right. Thanks, Sherry, for going the extra mile for us all today. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, thanks. And thanks for the question. So it's about integrating those areas of well-being into my experience as a leader and in my leadership roles. I think what really comes to mind is first and foremost, creating that space and that well-being for yourself as a leader. creating your own routines so that when you are, in that role as leader and building up others, you have the energy, you have all of what you need, the gas, I should say, to provide that support and that focus on others. So it really does start with you as a leader. What are you doing in your own personal world that gives you that strength and that resilience to keep going and help others in their journeys?
And what's been the catalyst for you to ensure that the emotional component of overall well-being is carried through on a consistent basis in your life?
I would say, consistency is really key. And it's a hard one, I think, to accomplish, because that does take that focus and that every day waking up, knowing what is good for you and making sure you're taking those actions to ensure that you're building up that bank account, if you will, to bring it into the world of leadership. So, when it comes to my previous role that I had at Sixt in that leadership role, where I was working with individuals and teams to help them improve their communications, gain greater understanding of themselves, and the strengths that they have in terms of how they communicate and what they actually bring into the workplace, and always helping them to understand what their needs are so that they're helping themselves to get their needs met. So it was, it's always a focus on how is it that I could support them in doing that? And then, of course, keeping tabs on what it is that I needed as an individual, that support, what kind of acknowledgement that I needed keep it going for myself.
Yeah, sure. That's really key, and you're very good with that too. So, you received acknowledgments in order to give support to your team with acknowledgments and support as well. So, my question around that is, what kept you going in constantly being that support person to your staff?
Well, I think I grew up with a really great mentor with my father, and he recently passed away.
I'm so sorry about that, Sherry. My sincere sympathies to you and your family.
Yes, thank you, Jeannie. It was just earlier in February when we lost him, and he was almost 84, and had a long life. He was the father of four, and we were very close as a family. He built us as a family to be a very close family, and I think he would always walk the talk of having integrity, being honest with others, and creating a space for others that created a level of comfort where any awkwardness that might occur if you're just about to meet somebody, having a tough conversation, he had an approach that was based in humor and just a respect for others. And so he would demonstrate that on a regular basis.
So I love that thing that you mentioned about his humor, because I find humor, when somebody uses humor with me in a situation, I immediately become comfortable and open up and feel safer too with that person.
Absolutely. And when I would witness him demonstrating that, with others, that's exactly the sense that I got in terms of how they felt. So he would make friends, with strangers on a regular basis. So, I think about that. I think about how the connections we need to make with the people we are surrounding ourselves with in that leader role, it is important to create those connections in a way that is just more human. It's more easy. It's has an element where your whole intention is to connect, and it's not it's less formal. It's just more casual, and you can get to an understanding with those individuals in a way that perhaps a more formal approach wouldn't get you there. So I think about that a lot most recently with him.
And I understand your dad was a wonderful dancer and just the life of the party, which in its way picks up some of these core components of emotional, such as play, laughter, and just plain, experiencing all. Also relationship, too, because he had that with a lot of people, as I understand it. Is that right?
Yes, he did. Whenever there was a family event, I was out on the dance floor with my dad. And he was ready to show me how to actually dance and do a turn on the dance floor. So yes, and he was the life of the party. Anybody who was coming by at our home on a Sunday late afternoon, knew they'd be welcome in for dinner. Mm-hmm. And joining us for dinner. So yeah, because he was at the front door, of course, making sure everybody was coming in, finding a chair, finding a plate, and joining the family.
Yeah,
they were extended part of the family.
That's wonderful. So it sounds like your dad really embraced the form of expression and creativity. He strengthened connections within your family and friends that he had, and actually promoted and created a culture of joy and well-being within himself, which probably radiated out to everyone. So when he was around everyone, that's what they saw in him.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And knowing that and hearing often, things are going to be okay. You do what's right by people. You respect others. You genuinely show how you care. Don't hold back on showing how you care. You will make an impact on others. You'll make a difference in the world, and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
You'll get over those hurdles in life.
Yeah, that's so beautiful that you said that, Sherry. I saw on LinkedIn today, an advertisement of a TEDx talk from an actor, and the prime takeaway was it said, express yourself. But in order to express yourself, you have to know yourself and then show love. And it sounds like to me your dad was very aware of that. He was able to express himself well around people. And everything followed after that, and everything he did was done with love.
Yes, absolutely. I think I and my siblings can say that that's exactly what we felt on a regular daily basis with my dad. And of course, he wasn't alone. He had my mom, and so they were a duo. They were a team. So they both brought that love into our family.
That's wonderful. Sounds like they had a really great marriage.
Yes, 61 years.
Ooh, wow. Wow, that's really amazing.
Yes. Now,
I'm sure he has had the key ingredients for you to have a good, long, strong marriage as well. So what a great witness that he actually displayed to all of his children. What about areas of contribution, integrity? What did you learn from your dad through him displaying these particular attributes?
He was always ready to help, always ready to, do what was needed. So if a neighbor needed assistance in some way, he was great with cars. So he grew up as a mechanic and moved into management over the years. And so oftentimes there was an issue with a car. He was ready to take it on, get it fixed, and take care of the problem. So, and not necessarily was he always being paid for the time and effort that he was making. So, you know, I think that just totally connects with how I think what I like to do with the nonprofit organization that I'm a part of, in that, you know, it's about the connections, it's about the community, supporting others and their growth and their development. And that's the reward, is that connection and being a part of that community. So for me, I like to think that he's inspired me to be and take that way in life. And that's the reward, is, you know, all those connections that I have. And just most recently, with my loss of my dad, that community came to my aid, like full force, and really felt the love and support of them over these past couple of months. And so it's just amazing that I'm a part of this professional organization where, you know, they are just turning it back around and going out of their way to support me at this time.
That's wonderful. That's cool. So everything that you've given into this organization, you're now seeing, getting back tenfold because of your father. And so would you like to share with us what were some of those memorable things that you experienced from the people with your nonprofit?
Oh, absolutely. One of my colleagues, her and her sister are master cooks. Her sister specifically is a master at making lasagna. And so they were actually doing a project where they were cooking lasagnas for some friends. And when my colleague, her name is Barb, when she learned of my loss, she immediately encouraged her sister to bake just one more. And she brought over a full dinner, included the lasagna, the salad, the bottle of wine, and brought it
bonus,
to my home, right? Delivered it, you know, it was a family dinner for us to enjoy. And so that was just one example of, you know, them just really going out of their way and coming to my aid.
In the description of experience, awe and wonder, what can you share from your own experience, Sherry, where you were just ultimately filled with experiencing awe and wonder of nature around you? And how did that broaden your horizon to show you what really is important in life as a leader?
Well, you know, I think about a time when I was younger. One thing my dad would always say is, you could do anything. Whatever you put your mind to, you can do. And so when I was in college, I decided I wanted to go to Mexico. I was studying archaeology, and there was a trip for 3 weeks to go visit the Mayan ruins.
Oh, that's beautiful. I've been there.
Yes.
Cool.
Right? Fantastic, right? So I was going pretty much on my own. It was with a group, but I was determined to go. Again, hearing from my father, okay, well, that's what you want to do. You can, you know, you do it. You put your mind to it, you make it happen. So of course I worked towards it, gathered all the funds needed to take a trip to Mexico. And it was just amazing. What I felt was the opportunity of not only seeing these ancient ruins, but that also had the opportunity to climb a couple of them. And one in particular in Uxmal was an 80-foot pyramid. And needless to say, well, maybe I should say, I was afraid of heights. And I'd always had grown up with a fear of heights.
Oh, and they're tall.
Yes.
And you still made it.
And this one was 80 feet. Yes. So I was part of my goal not only to see the ruins, but to climb at least one. And this again was, I was successful with the help of others, because the group I was traveling with, I shared with them what my fear was and what my goal was. Mm-hmm. And they were right there to support me.
And Sherry, what was your goal?
To climb this 80-foot pyramid.
Okay.
To get to the top. And so they were right there with me to walk me and actually walk up alongside as I was, you know, crawling my way up the side of the pyramid and making it to the top. And it was amazing.
And so they actually pushed you through your comfort level. You actually elevated yourself through that experience by pushing through your comfort level.
Yes.
And how exhilarating was that for you?
Oh, it was amazing. Making it to the top, seeing the rolling dark clouds kind of off in the distance, knowing that it couldn't be up there for too long. but just having that sensation of accomplishment and not doing it on my own.
Yeah,
I was completely supported by a team of people who were cheering once I got to the top.
Yeah.
So it was a great feeling.
I'm sure. And what was it really like when you were up top? I mean, did you have that fear that was still around you about fear of heights?
No. Well, it diminished.
Uh-huh.
Once, you know, I was there sort of walking around, getting a sense of awe of mm-hmm. the history
right.
of where I was standing and how old this structure was
yeah.
and the people who had lived so many years ago right here in this spot and how they lived and thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just amazing.
Yeah, so,
and that the Mayans actually were known to be of a higher spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really resonated with me. So, I, you know, at that time, I was just fascinated in that moment of being at that top and feeling those feelings.
Yeah. And isn't that interesting how the wonderment of experiencing awe or even wonder in a particular situation can completely make those fears disappear?
Yes.
Because
yes,
your mind is on something else, right? It was on the wonder of what the Mayan people had created.
Right. Absolutely. Now, what did happen was when I had to make that decision to go down, the fear did come back. So,
interesting. Yeah, because you were focused more on getting down in each step, probably.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But I did have a reprieve when I was at the top.
Were you able to equate that experience to your current, your life where you are leading people? And what we call in coaching lots of times is breaking through our comfort zone or breaking through our fears in order to get to through the breakthrough to where we want to really be, which is our growth. Did that particular experience, were you able to use that in your leadership to people underneath you when you returned?
I think it's about, and yes, I mean, that I don't know if I have a specific example, but in general, it's that encouragement of taking risks
mm-hmm.
and being okay with the fact that things may not pan out exactly how you think they should.
Mm-hmm.
Things might fail, but that taking the risks that's important in life. It's important in business. It's important because we are stretching when we're taking risks.
Are you feeling stuck in life? Do you need a new career perhaps? Or do you want to become an effective leader? Do you want to know how to find joy in your life? Wouldn't you love to live in possibility? I coach individuals to transform their lives through mindset shifts and by living in excellence. My areas of specialty include transformational career leadership and executive coaching. The goal is to develop high-performing individuals who make remarkable mind shifts in their lives, which lead to their amazing inspirational transformation. My name is Jeannie Hallam. I am a certified ACC coach graduate through the standard of the International Coaches Federation, which is the highest standard of coaching achieved in the world. My clients are all at choice to become legendary leaders through their powerful, inspirational, transformational journey. In partnership, I coach them to help them create their life they want to manifest in excellence through the vision that they create. My website is www.coachingbygeannie.com. That is spelled Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-I-E. My email is jeannie@coachingbygeannie.com. I am so excited to talk with you, so just give me a call and let's see how I may support you in your life's journey. What are you waiting for? Let's talk. Would you mind sharing with everyone out there in the audience, why is it important to take risks in our lives?
Well, you know, it's going to take us out of our safety zone, you know, where we are comfortable. It's growth, change, learning often occurs outside of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so, so those risks are important because we know we need to grow. Mm-hmm. And so through taking risks, we're going to grow. When we fall down, when we fail, when things don't work out like we expect, mm-hmm. there's a lot of learning there.
So true. Mm-hmm. So then you can actually say, if we live in the world of the unknown, where all those possibilities are, that's growth.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Living in where those possibilities are.
So, yeah, that Mayan trip is really, really interesting. And that was when you were in college. Is that correct?
Yes.
So today you're married and you have a son. And what has there been any other experiences? I'm sure there have been. But if you could share, what other experiences since you're married and have become a mom where you've experienced all and wonder and forced you to sort of go outside of your comfort zone into the world of the unknown and just take the opportunity?
Yes. You know, I have had the opportunity to obtain my open water scuba diving license. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And certification, I should say.
Yeah, cool.
Yes. And by obtaining the open water certification, a deep dive is required. And mm-hmm. a deep dive in my case was 130 feet.
Whoa.
In the Bahamas. Yes.
That's deep.
And
that's deep water.
That is deep water, and it's very for a very short period of time. And that was an amazing time. The completely out of my comfort zone, scuba diving. I had been scuba diving for a couple of months, and this was the capstone dive. And once you got down to the 130 mark, I was able to just float there, holding on to the end of the rope, of course, not letting go, and seeing sharks down below, about another 20 feet down below.
Ooh.
And so it was exhilarating.
I bet.
In the middle of the ocean, beautiful blue water, just phenomenal.
Sherry,
risky.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Were you in a wetsuit?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Just curious because of those sharks, you know? I mean, and how did you feel about seeing those sharks below you?
It was just incredibly exhilarating. Being around a team of people, again, I wasn't doing this on my own. There were others alongside me. So there's a little bit of a comfort level there because, you know, we were above the sharks as well. They couldn't really see us. And the moments that we were there. So I felt somewhat safe. And again, being with others, that made all the difference.
Yeah, I guess so. So how long did that experience last for you in totality?
It was no more than 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yes, because in terms of what the time we were there, you have to decompress as you're coming back up. Mm-hmm. And so it was not very long.
Wow. Oh my gosh. What an amazing experience. Did you ever have any fear as you're going down in the water with your scuba tank on and all the accessories that go with that, a fear of, not being able to breathe correctly or did that all diminish once you were in the water and you started seeing the sights around you?
You know, because this was the last dive, I was definitely more comfortable in the water. But, you know, in the first trainings, that's always a little bit of a hesitation that I had as far as, just like you say, the breathing and making sure you're deliberate in your breathing and careful. But at that particular dive, I felt great. It was exhilarating to get into the water and then to allow the weights to take me down and see the sights. It was just phenomenal.
Yeah, again, just like in the Mayan ruins, you forgot about all the fear that might have been encroached with you, and it dissipated for that period of time. That's really amazing. That's the power of our unconscious mind, too, at work. Wouldn't you say, Sherry?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Allowing yourself to just fully step into the experience.
Yeah.
And you know, taking that risk, and perhaps it's a calculated risk, perhaps it's a risk where you feel somewhat supported, right? Then you can fully walk into it and experience it. Yes.
Would you be willing to share about the time that you went to an awesome place in another country not too long ago, actually, and what wonder and awe and more items under the emotional component that you might have experienced and how that affected you?
Yes, absolutely. My husband and I traveled to Paris, France, a long-awaited trip that we took together. And this was in September of last year. We spent time enjoying the sights and the sounds of Paris, traveling into the small neighborhoods, the food, the wine, the music. It was just amazing. Yeah. And so, you know, experiencing, you know, that play and laugh and music. We were there just having a great time.
Yeah, that's great. And also, you also probably experienced joy through doing that. And also, it was a lot of relationship too, because it was something that you and your husband have been working towards for a long time, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So that must have been incredible, too, for the relationship between the two of you as well.
Yes. Yes, we love to travel. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's an RV trip or taking a flight or just getting on the road to go down to Key West.
Yeah.
We love to travel together. And I think that's really has been a real benefit to us as in our relationship.
Right.
Because we love the wonder and the awe. We love to marvel at nature.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you know, looking up at the Eiffel Tower.
I know. That must have been amazing. It's such an iconic statue or figure. And then to actually feel that and experience that.
Yes. It was just amazing.
Yeah. And it's just equally as beautiful at night as it is during the day.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
In a different way, but yes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure it's very romantic at night, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. And it was interesting, you know, shortly after we came back, we learned that our niece was engaged right near the foot of, or not near the foot, but near the Eiffel Tower.
No kidding.
Well.
Oh, my gosh. So, amazing.
So we were excited. We could feel their excitement, thinking, oh, that's so wonderful. We were there. We felt the romance when we were there. And we were so happy to hear that news as well.
That's so cool. So the specialness of the engagement just made it that more, much more intense, because you could actually experience the feel of the city where they got engaged.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So then through all this, Sherry, would you say that leaders who embrace and cultivate these kinds of experiences of awe and wonder can inspire, empower, and connect with their own teams in many different profound ways?
Yes, absolutely. You know, by tapping into the transformative power of awe, leaders can foster creativity, resilience, and a shared sense of purpose that could drive organizational success.
Yeah, that's really cool. And that is so crucial. And it is really powerful when you say the transformative power of awe. And that's so true, because leaders can really be transformative in their in the people that they lead in their lives individually as well.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I've had leaders in the past where, you know, they walk that talk. They, you know, encourage, you know, taking that risk and putting teams or putting you into that situation where you're surprised. You could be surprised at perhaps, you know, what is it that you can do or what you can do as a team.
Right.
Yeah.
So Sherry, one of the other important topics under emotional for overall well-being is expressing anger. And I was just wondering, this is kind of a tender subject, but is there any examples that you can share with us where you experienced any kind of anger and what you learned from that?
Yes, unfortunately. Recently, I was laid off from my most recent employer, and it was a little bit of a surprise. And a huge disappointment. And yes, I would say I was angry. And so it's been a few months.
Can I ask you, or would you mind sharing with the audience why you were angry?
I felt that the management team, the leader team, showed a lack of vision and poor management in their approach. Not only was I impacted in being laid off and let go, but others on my peer team, my leader team, were also let go from the organization, which I learned a couple of months later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so it felt, you know, it felt like they were lacking in vision and their ability to see the gifts that individuals bring and reconsider how, if a reorganization was necessary, how to integrate the gifts that the current team brought to the team.
Okay.
And just have a creative approach to perhaps the reorganization that occurred.
Yeah, it's always a hard thing to go through. It happens in organizations. It's never fun. But another way to look at that is, since I even experienced it myself, isn't it a great way to think of this is happening for a reason and a better and greater opportunity is going to be coming my way? I just don't know it yet.
Yes, of course. You know, there is the the downside of it, and then there is the upside, and holding those two at the same time is, you know, where I had started. And now I'm more focused and leaning on what is the opportunity? Mm-hmm. What is the learning from this? Mm-hmm. So yes, I would agree. You know, things do happen mm-hmm. For a reason, and there is always an opportunity when things, as you see it, fall down. Mm-hmm. Where is it that I can refocus my talents? What is it that I really want? I found myself asking myself these questions.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's very helpful.
Yeah.
To, you know, realign with what is it that I really want in my life and for my family. Mm-hmm. And what are the things that I need to do to make that happen? And it might be different than the ways in which I've always done. Mm-hmm. And so that puts me in an ambiguous mm-hmm. situation, mm-hmm. and I'm not comfortable with that. And so I know I'm out of my comfort zone, and that is going to lead me to, you know, learning from this situation where, you know, it's not structured, so I have to figure it out. So I'm being challenged, mm-hmm. and I'm seeing that in a more positive way.
One of the things I wanted to also include is service, whether it's service to others, service to community. How has your role as president of the ATD South Florida chapter influenced you in your opportunity of being in service to others?
Well, I have to say it's been an incredible privilege to be a part of this organization and being in the role as president as of July of 2023. It has opened me up to experiencing what it means to lead volunteers. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're partnered with individuals who are showing up to give their time, to give their efforts, because they want to be there, they want to make a difference. That's really their focus in their supporting of others, and of course taking away for themselves the learning and opportunities. But it's an interesting and delightful experience.
Mm-hmm. Great,
because we're all there together to build relationships and create opportunities for one another.
Yeah.
And
being in service is profoundly relevant to leadership as it embodies the essence of empathy, responsibility, and empowerment. And then just for last thoughts, tell me about what the key is to successful leadership, if you would.
I believe successful leadership is influence, not authority. And I also believe that pebbles in a pond can make waves of change.
Ah, that's profound. Yeah. So the pebble effect or the tidal wave effect, it keeps going and going and going. You can give and it keeps going and going and going.
Right.
Yeah.
The small efforts we make towards others and making connections, mm-hmm. I think it makes a difference in people's lives. And so, you know, those are some of those pebbles that we can make.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Sherry, I want to thank you so much for your time, all of your wonderful share about what's gone on in your life and how it's valued your leadership currently today. I wish you lots of success as you continue your leadership roles. And I know a dynamite additional opportunity is going to be coming your way very soon. And also, thanks for coming when your voice wasn't quite yourself, but everything worked out well.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Jeannie. I really had a good time talking with you today. So thanks again.
All right. Thanks, Sherry. And thank you, audience out there, for tuning in with us today. We really appreciate your time and willingness to listen to all of these important factors about our overall well-being. And we'll be here next month for another component, which will be announced. So thank you very much and have a wonderful weekend.